More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, losing it, feeling off balance, on edge, irritable, not sure why. We're going to help you find your best self again. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today our show is titled Losing It. I think more people than ever are in that place where they are on edge, are irritable, are feeling off balance for a million and one reasons. But you might not consciously know why. You know, sometimes you just feel like everything's getting to you more than usual, or you find yourself lashing out when you didn't expect to, or you just feel, in general, more irritable or ill at ease than usual. What's going on, and how do you get your balance back again? We want to help you do that and more today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And I think that now, and we really need to look at the now when we discuss this, so many of us do feel this sense of being off, just not right, more snappish, more irritable, more exhausted, more of whatever that rough thing is, and often we'll say, well, this isn't affecting me as much as it is some people. You know, it's not as bad in my area as it is in this other area, or it's not affecting, and I'm talking about the pandemic and all of the situations around that. A lot of us will do that just in daily life. I have a very good friend that no matter what goes wrong for her, we've been friends for decades, she'll always say, but I shouldn't feel this, I shouldn't feel any bad way because it's not as bad as some people have it. And what that does is it keeps us from coming up with ways to make our situation better. It kind of disempowers us from really looking at it and being able to sort through it. It's sort of like taking a simmering pot and sticking a lid on top of it, and then we're just shocked when it overflows, when it boils over. And we really need to be taking a look at what it is that's got us on edge, that makes us feel like we're having a hard time, and sort it out so that we can honor that, honor what's going on, cope with it better, and come up with a plan for being better than we are in the moment so we can feel better, act better, live in more grace. And if that sounds great but really hard to do, we're here to help you through all that today and figure it all out and give you a sense of grace and peace and even empowerment today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So are there certain situations where people that are getting under your skin? Are you, in general, having a harder time keeping your cool? Maybe you find yourself more easily provoked these days by your kids, your spouse, your coworkers, even your friends. Let's talk about what's really going on here, and more importantly, how to fix it instead of just how to suffer it or power through or beat yourself up about it, because that's another thing that we all do. 877-573-7825.
You know, when we meet here every day on More to Life, one of the things that we really try to take a look at is how St. John Paul's theology of the body gives light to whatever we're going through in the moment. And when we look at it, we can see that when we feel off balance, irritable, on edge, as you're talking about, Greg, we have a tendency to either beat ourselves up, as you said, for feeling that way, or as my friend does, I shouldn't feel that way, people have it worse than me. Or we just try to hold on tight and hope that the moment passes on its own. Or sometimes we let it fester so much that it grows and it kind of hobbles us. But the theology of the body reminds us that rather than just suffering through times, it's our job as Christians to listen to what God is saying to us in these moments.
Right. So, you know, when we feel irritated or on edge or agitated or off balance, our first job is really to bring those feelings to God and say, Lord, what are you trying to bring my attention to? Help me see the needs you want me to meet, the problems you want me to address, or the concerns you need me to attend to. Right? So that's number one. Then once we have a clearer sense of that specific challenge underlying the agitation, then we ask God to help us respond to those needs or problems or concerns in a way that will allow us to glorify him, to work for his good, to work for the good of those around us, and to be our best selves. Now, how is that different from what we usually do? Usually we feel agitated, we feel upset, we feel on edge, we feel irritable, and we either beat up on ourselves, like you were saying, Lisa, or we just try to push through it. But the theology of the body reminds us to look for that deeper meaning. What's going on that spiritual level in that moment of irritation, being on edge? What are the needs not being addressed? What are the problems that God's trying to bring my attention to? What are the issues that he wants me to respond to? And how does he want me to do it? Right? And so the issue here is how do we bring these feelings to God and work with his grace to make something more out of it instead of simply powering through or beating ourselves up. So let's talk about it. 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825.
Or if you are part of somebody's life and you see them going through this, especially if it's somebody that's in your household, one of your children perhaps, where you're seeing, and I am hearing a lot of this from other moms, where the moms are at a breaking point because the kiddos are snapping and breaking and crying more and being more disobedient and more belligerent and fraying at the edges when they have to do anything with school, no matter what their school situation looks like. And moms are breaking down and kids are breaking down. If you have somebody in your life who is just having a hard time keeping their cool, powering through all this, just not quite themselves these days, and you're thinking, what in the world do I do? How do I help them? How do I not let it affect me more? Because I'm seeing a lot of people who are like, well, my spouse is this way and being reactive, and then I'm upset about something. My children are struggling, so I get more upset. And if you're not quite sure how to help them and protect yourself in the whole process, we're here for you at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you all those feelings of agitation, of being more irritable, of being on edge, of just feeling like everything is getting to us. Because, Lord, there are a million and one things going on, and there is no playbook for most of those things that we're facing right now. And we all feel at sixes and sevens. And so, Lord, we bring to you that sense of being off balance and on edge, and we ask you to help us to hear your voice speaking to us, calling our attention to the needs that have to be addressed, the issues that you'd like us to respond to, the problems that you'd like us to engage in graceful ways. And help us then to know how to respond to those needs, problems, and challenges in a way that will allow us to glorify you, to work for the good of the people around us, and to be our best selves in the face of all of it. help us to remember that our job isn't, when we're feeling upset or agitated or irritated, our job isn't to just beat up on ourselves for it and say we shouldn't feel that way, or to just power through it and say it is what it is, but rather to see those feelings as a gentle nudge from the Holy Spirit to come to you, and to ask you to teach us how to respond to those feelings in ways that help us grow into the people that you want us to be, and live the life that you have in mind for us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
We are taking your calls today on our show titled Losing It. Are you feeling off balance, on edge, irritable, not sure why? Are things or people getting to you more than usual, having a hard time keeping your cool? Let's talk about what's really going on here and how to begin to address it in graceful ways. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Jennifer, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to More to Life. Jennifer, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Jennifer. What's going on?
Hi. Good morning. This is very difficult. We're kind of and it's just happened. It's pretty raw.
Okay.
We're newlyweds. We've been married a year. We've been together 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we came together through faith, through our shared Christian faith and lifestyle. Up until this election, we've had a very strong marriage and partnership in Christ. And we both take the covenant of marriage seriously. Mm-hmm. I voted the other day, and I didn't vote in step with my husband.
Okay.
And he told me to leave and that he wanted a divorce. He said because I disrespected him by my voting and showed him that I wasn't on his side and I didn't agree with the life choices he's made, and that we couldn't no longer be husband and wife and be married in partnership.
Okay, so are you guys still living together then, or did you move out, or where do things stand at this point?
It's only been a day. It's been 2 days.
Yeah, but are you're still together?
We're still there, and we're still trying to navigate what happened now.
All right, and how is he treating you now that he's calling or helping?
It's not good. It's not good. It's tense, and it's heated.
Okay.
And
let me ask you.
I'm trying to keep quiet because I know in the scripture when Jesus was on the cross, he said it is finished, and he got silent before the Lord.
Well,
and I take that to heart, and I'm trying to keep silent and just get through it and see what to do next.
So in your 2 years of knowing this man, of building this relationship with him, has there ever been another time where you haven't been in lockstep with what he believes, what he wants you to do, with his opinions? So even in small things. So for example, if you're both trying to decide where you're going out to dinner and he says he wants Italian and you say you want something different, and how does he react to that? Does he ever say, oh, that sounds like a good idea, sweetheart, let's do it your way? When you decorate the house, is it usually his preference, or is it, you know, usually your preference? How does he deal with differences in opinion in the past, or have there been any up until this point?
No, and that's what's so shocking, that politics would come between us in our covenant, because nothing else has.
Give me an example of another conversation. Give me an example of how you'd handle another, not something like dinner, but like something more that would require more passion. You know, something that you'd both be passionate about, that you feel very differently about. How do you talk about those things?
We've been really good about having discussions.
Give me an example of a difficult decision that you made together.
Oh, maybe
around a controversial topic.
Maybe as far as raising kids and how we handle the grandkids, and you know, differences on views on maybe how we respond to something when
So how would you handle that?
In trouble. Well, he he would give his opinion and, you know, and his point, and I would listen quietly, and then I would offer mine, and we might go back and forth a bit in discussion, but not heated, yelling, nothing, just like two good friends.
Right, but when it comes down to actually making the decision, do you have to agree to disagree or capitulate, or does he ever actually accommodate to what your thoughts and opinions are?
It depends. We've experienced all of the above. So there's been some things where I capitulate because it's, to me, it's not important enough to have my view be seen.
I got you.
And then there's other things that he's capitulated to me on.
See, okay, well, because here's the reason I'm asking this, okay? Because this isn't about voting. This is about respect. Right, and this isn't this. It's weird that this would come out of nowhere. Okay, so I'm very suspicious that this has not happened before, and I'm going to ask you to kind of listen to what we're saying here and really take this to prayer and then bring this to your husband, because this kind of thing just doesn't come out of nowhere, right? What you're seeing is a radical failure of respect in your relationship, and what I mean by that is that when you respect somebody, you do your best to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things that they find true, good, and beautiful, even if you don't appreciate it. Okay, so these are politically heated times, certainly, you know, but there needs to be that capacity to say, you know, look, I don't agree with this person and what they're doing or how they voted or what they think, but I can appreciate the concerns that they have, and I can respect, you know, what they're trying to do, even if I disagree with the way they're going about it or the decision that they've made. And I respect you enough as a person to acknowledge that even if I wouldn't do it the way you did it or make the same decision that you made, there's something good or true or beautiful behind your motivations. And I want to understand that, and I want to come alongside of you as best I can. So when couples have that skill, you know, they respect those differences and work together to appreciate, like I said, what's good or attributable about each other's position. That has completely failed here.
Right. So, you can even say we don't agree over this, but this is something that is going to be decided outside of the two of us one way or another. What do we have to do to talk about so that we have a shared value system, as you believe you already have, so that we can respect each other through this, so that, you know, 4 years from now, 8 years from now, when this is hopefully a distant memory, no matter how it turned out, we can still be in love with each other and still be respecting one another and still be upholding the dignity of our sacrament, that not everything is pivotal on this disagreement and decision. And right now, he's not in a place where he's allowing any conversation in that direction.
And so this behavior would be more consistent with somebody who has a history of narcissism and a profound failure of disrespect. So, you know, it's weird to me that this is coming out of nowhere, and I don't believe that it is. So I'm asking you to really reflect on the larger picture here. And then secondly, I want you to go to your husband and say, look, I love you. This is not about voting. This is about your failure to respect me. And to see that even if you disagree with a decision or my values or my, you know, whatever, you are unwilling to try to see what's good or what's true or what's beautiful behind the concerns that I've got. And if we end up getting divorced, and I don't want to get divorced, and God forbid I don't want you to get divorced, but if we do get divorced, it's not going to be because I voted differently than you. It's going to be because the respect in our relationship has completely failed. And I need you to look hard at that, husband. Because that's not an okay position for you to take. And I love you too much to let you get away with this. So we're not going to talk about voting. We're going to talk about the fact that you don't respect me, at least in this example. And how do we get to a place where you can see that even when you disagree with something that I've done or a decision that I've made, that it's your job, it's our job, to try to see the goodness behind the positions that we've taken or the needs that we've expressed or the concerns that we're bringing up. Because I need to know that I can trust the person that I married to respect me enough to see what's good and true and beautiful behind the things that I find true, good, and beautiful. Jennifer, we talk about this, by the way, in my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. We'll give you additional tips there. You can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice to work with a good, faithful Catholic counselor at CatholicCounselors.com. I think you're going to probably need some professional help with this. But the first step is reframing this. This is not about voting. This is about respect. Thanks for the call. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show today is titled Losing It. Are you feeling off balance, on edge, irritable, not sure why? I'm going to help you find your best self again. Let's talk it out and find some ways forward. If you are having a hard time keeping your cool, feeling more easily provoked, or dealing with people who are more easily provoked, like our last caller, Jennifer, was, 877-573-7825. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Rachel Popchak, who's a pastoral counseling associate with CatholicCounselors.com. She's going to be sharing some insights on why are we really feeling so on edge these days. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
This program is brought to you in part by the support of MVP Realty Associates, helping people find homes in the town of Ave Maria, Florida. The town of Ave Maria has a water park, golf courses, restaurants, medical and retail stores, and is located 20 minutes from Naples. New construction and resale homes are available. More information about the town of Ave Maria and the vision of Domino's Pizza founder Tom Monahan is available from Greg Musumano at 239-825-6958.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Life, religious freedom, and healthcare are at stake in this year's election. Do you have the right tools to confidently cast a vote that's informed by your Catholic faith? Join the Christ Medicus Foundation, CMF Curo, Divine Mercy University, and the Catholic Medical Association October 20th for Decision 2020, the informed Catholic voter. This 90-minute virtual event uses the lens of faith to address the important issues. Register for this free event at CatholicHealthcareConference.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about losing it. The fact that many of us feel off balance, on edge, irritable, and we're struggling to know why. Joining us right now, Rachel Popchak. She is a pastoral counseling associate with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in performance and success psychology. And today, she's going to talk to the underlying reason that many people are kind of missing that explains really why we're all so on edge. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. Now, Rachel, there's something that's going on underneath all of this that is not being addressed well in the media that a lot of people aren't recognizing. And if they're recognizing it, they're not sure how to deal with it or if they're even allowed to acknowledge it. Tell us a little bit about what you're experiencing in your clients, what you're seeing is the underlying reason for a lot of people's disease right now.
Yeah, well, I think that really one of the reasons that a lot of us are feeling very off right now is because we're grieving, right? We're grieving a lot of things that we've lost. Often, like you said, we really don't acknowledge that, right? Or we haven't acknowledged that, but we have. We've lost a lot, either directly or indirectly. You know, we've certainly lost a sense of normalcy, a loss of connection. And kind of through all of this, we've really even lost sort of our natural coping skills, right? We can't do the things that we used to do to sort of take down our stress and get that break that we all need.
Sure. I mean, everything from, you know, we can't necessarily go on the vacation that we wanted to go on or even go out, you know, depending on where we are, go out with a large group of people. Some of us don't get to see our families. We don't feel certain about anything. So whether we've been really radically affected by all that's going on in the world right now or it's just knowing that it's out there and that other people aren't, we haven't really acknowledged this sense of loss And as you pointed out, I guess the next question, of course, is, well, what do we do about it if we begin to recognize that, yeah, I'm off because I'm grieving something, or my kids are?
Sure. Well, you know, grief is a difficult thing to manage, certainly for a lot of reasons. But I think that just the nature of grief in particular is difficult because it's something that kind of comes in waves, right? We feel great one minute and we feel like everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, or at least seemingly all of a sudden, we just feel off, confused.
Out of nowhere. So what do we do when we begin to experience it?
I think really two things we need to kind of prioritize right now is one, just kind of having this overall gentle approach with ourselves and other people, right? So not having those expectations that we'll be fine or we'll manage things the way that we, quote, kind of used to, right? But just really be gentle with ourselves and the experience that we're having. And then second, really to kind of work through those waves of grief, we really need to kind of cultivate connection. Certainly kind of connection with other people, but also a connection with kind of our identity and who we are in this time. So finding a connection with those activities or events or just kind of those things that we used to participate in and enjoy so that we can really kind of find connection and honor what we've lost in a sense.
Just really figuring out that what was it about us in that moment that made us thrive and figure out how we can honor that part of us even in different circumstances now. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this insight today. I think a lot of people will be having an aha moment of saying, well, I didn't lose anybody. I didn't think I was grieving, and realizing that perhaps they are, or perhaps somebody they love is. So thank you so much for helping us acknowledge that.
If folks like to learn more about Rachel Popchak's work, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com. Well, you know, this whole idea of grief being underneath a lot of the tension that we're all experiencing is rooted in that idea that we need to find ways to regain our balance and reconnect with others. But so let us help you do that. And more to life continues after the break at 877-573-7825.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, AveMariaRadio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence, awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh yes, let me say it. When I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man while the police were coming, the ambulance. They removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Arguments about money are well known as one of the leading causes of divorce, but these arguments actually have very little to do with financial know-how. Rather, it's about the goals you and your spouse have for your finances and how you feel your money should be used. Here are four steps to managing money problems in your marriage. Step one, examine your conscience. Do your ideas about money line up with what the church teaches about money? Step two,
pray about your finances together. Letting God enter into your financial decisions helps couples to act as a team instead of two opposing forces. Step 3, use your problem-solving tools. Resolve to take care of your spouse through your money decisions, but use numbers to make decisions, not feelings. And step 4, get professional help. You need access to right knowledge to make a sound financial decision for your family's future. See, talking about money doesn't have to be a negative experience. For more marriage guidance, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we're talking about losing it. If you're feeling off balance, on edge, irritable, not sure why, we're going to help you find your best self. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Are you struggling to manage those feelings of irritability, frustration, being on edge? Do you find yourself lashing out more, being less patient, maybe with your kids, your spouse, others? Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Teresa in Detroit, Michigan, listening to EWTN Radio on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. I need some help from you on how to reestablish my relationship with our married daughter, who has 3 small children, a husband, and they live out of state. I've noticed her pulling away from us since the beginning of COVID, but lately she has refused to even talk with us on the phone. She will only text us. One of the most recent texts that I got from her was she would not baptize her youngest child unless we changed our vote.
I know
their political ideas are the opposite end of the spectrum of ours, and it's tearing our family apart, which is more important to me than politics.
Sure.
So talk to me, how has this become an issue between you guys?
To the point where she's holding her child's baptism hostage over your political vote.
There's so much wrong with that, it's hard to know where to start. But let's leave that aside for just a second and say, so how did all this get started?
We've always been opposite voters. We've always been very close to her, but she is she does have a very full plate with her family life. Her marriage is good, but there are issues, with the children. Health issues, which I'd rather not go into. We've always been very, 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 very supportive, as very much as we can, being out of state.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need to ask. What I'm trying to get at is how. Most families have these kinds of differences, all right? But most families are able to focus on the fact that our relationship has to be primary here. So my question is, how did it get to the place where this became more important than your relationship? It didn't come out of the blue. No, there was a relationship breakdown before this. What could have caused that?
I honestly don't know.
So that's what I need you to focus on with her, okay? Because it's easy to the political thing, it's the big ugly fire that's burning on the surface, okay?
And I want to give this imagery one more time, because this is the big ugly fire that you're talking about. So to back this up, right, we were talking at the beginning of the show about pots are boiling over certain things. In this case, and in many cases, it's a political discussion with a family or a friend. But what Greg is saying here is a lot of things happened to get that pot boiling over. You had to get a pot out. You had to put water in it. You had to set a fire under it. There are steps back here that were separating you and your daughter in different areas for a while. You can't, if you focus just on the political thing that made it boil over, you're not going to be able to walk it back and figure it out so that you can start healing it.
So here's another metaphor for you. Have you ever heard of a coal mine fire? If a coal mine catches fire, what happens is the ground starts to burn too, and the stuff above the ground starts to burn. But if you just focus on putting out the stuff above the ground, you're not putting out the real fire.
That's an interesting metaphor. I don't know a lot of people know about that.
The political stuff is the surface fire right now. I mean, and it's real. I'm not denying it.
Okay? And it does a lot of damage. But nobody's saying it's not.
But what all this cultural stuff is really a reflection of, it's the mine fire that's been burning for a long time that we hadn't been paying attention to because we just got used to it burning all the time.
And Greg's not saying on a political level or on a national level.
I'm in a relational
He's talking
level.
About the very relational levels we have going on under our roofs, in our families, that are really what's underneath it.
So even though, you know, you're saying you've been supportive, I'm not doubting that at all, but there's clearly some reason that your daughter felt like your influence was not credible for a very long time, not just politically, but morally, religiously. You know, there's stuff there in your relationship with her where she hasn't felt like you guys could have honest, forthright, meaningful conversations. And that has translated into this breakdown now where she's really deeply offensively using a sacrament and keeping a sacrament hostage to try to get you to change your politics.
Which really speaks to how much has she been doing to placate you and how much of it has she not really owned? What kind of struggles is she really going through that she hasn't shared with you? Because if she was a person who was, say, deeply committed to her faith and passing on her faith to her children, she wouldn't care who was voting for whom. She'd make sure that she got that child that sacrament no matter what. But she's not talking to you about her struggles with God, her struggles with her faith. She's not really sharing with you on a heart level, and there's reasons why for that.
So she's saying, I'm willing to check this box if you're willing to do this other thing for me. It's got nothing to do with any kind of a deeper heartfelt connection between the two of you or a connection to her faith or any of that, right? So Teresa, what I need you to do is go back to your daughter and I know you're not talking, but you say you're texting. And I'd like you to text her and say, listen, this cutoff that's happened between the two of us, I don't really think is about politics.
And you can tell her, look, I absolutely respect that we're on different sides of politics, but that's not what's at the heart of this. So we need to put that part aside and talk about our relationship.
And to be able to say, what's going on with us that's making you feel so hostile and unable to have a real conversation with me about us and about where you're at and about how we can relate to each other and get through this together? What's stopping you from feeling like we can have that kind of a relationship? Why is it all about politics? I want to heal that deeper relationship problem that clearly I've been missing, that all this stuff has really brought up to the surface. Would you be willing to work on that with me? Just go to her, make yourself vulnerable in that way, and reframe this issue as not about the superficial political stuff, but really about the breakdown in the relationship that has clearly been there for a long time before this. Thanks for the call, Teresa. 877-573-7825. We're talking about losing it today, that tendency that we all have to be on edge, to be irritable, to be agitated. How do we get past that and reclaim our stability? 877-573-7825.
Now, I want to be very clear for all of our listeners who really are so invested in what's going on in our world right now, in this political situation, and of course those who hold certain issues in this election very dear to their hearts, as we do. I want to be very clear. Nobody in this conversation, certainly not Greg and I in the last two conversations we've had here that have involved political differences between family members, are saying that you cave on what you believe in, that you acquiesce to somebody who is anti-life or is whatever that is. Nobody is saying that to you. However, your vote is your vote. You continue to do that. And the only way you can have any sway in anyone's life is through relationship. People will only have a change of heart through relationship, through them knowing that you respect them, that you love them, that you're working for their good. bickering and arguing don't ever change anyone's heart. And I can tell you that personally. I went as a teenager from growing up in a very pro-choice household to having people who had real relationship with me and could speak from the heart to really sway my understanding of life issues to make me the pro-life woman I am today. But when we get caught up in the fight and who's right and who's wrong and who's... That's all about feeling loved or respected, and then we lose.
So we actually had a caller who didn't want to go on the air, but she made a comment. Speaking to your point, she says, I love the show. I have your books. I wanted to make a comment from a previous caller. It's one thing to find what's true and beautiful, and that's great and all. And I do that. But we should also be able to stand up and correct our brothers and sisters when it comes to things like abortion and voting and all of that. All right. I am not, like you just said, we are not saying that you don't speak the truth.
Absolutely. We're
talking about how to speak the truth in a way that actually other people will hear. So if you talk to somebody who's pro-abortion, for example, and you say, we'll just leave
anything,
it at that.
Anything, but we'll pick that.
And you say, shame on you for being pro-abortion. You've just now closed the door on that conversation. They know where you stand. You know where they stand. You're never going to talk about it again. Or if you do, it's just going to be back and forth, arguing with each other in the polarized kind of a way. If you say to that person, I have real issues with abortion because I believe that it is the taking of a human life. Help me understand why you believe that it's necessary. Help me understand what are the needs that you feel abortion addresses. And then they'll tell you. And then you can say, okay, you know what? I can appreciate that, poverty is an issue. I can appreciate that domestic violence is an issue. I can appreciate that. Don't you think, though, that women deserve a better answer to those problems than abortion? I would like to have that conversation. And it seems to me that when you just put abortion out there as the one answer to all those problems, you're really shortchanging those people you're trying to stand up for. Now you can have an interesting conversation.
An interesting conversation, because in most cases, no matter what it is, whether it's politics, whether you and your spouse are arguing about how to raise your kids, whether you're trying to deal with your parents over where Christmas should be this year and how to do it, there's an underlying need that needs to be met. And only when we listen to each other with a listening heart and we make each other feel heard and respected will the Holy Spirit be able to get in and change anything in any of our hearts.
Now, if anything about that sounds wishy-washy, I want to read something to you. Okay? If I speak in the tongues of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith to move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Did you hear that? That's St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? We're all familiar with that verse. This is not about not speaking the truth to people.
And St. Paul never acquiesced to anything that wasn't the truth of the gospel and suffered mightily for it. But he knew that if he did not have love, all he would be was a noisy gong and no change would happen. No one would accept the gospel and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to take that admonishment to heart and pray through every interaction we have when we're not doing well with somebody else.
So the point here is not to hold back on the truth, to not preach the gospel, to not stand up for important values.
That's what everybody here wants to do.
The point is to make sure to do that in a way that people will actually hear you and be touched by what you're trying to say and have a conversion of heart. Because it's very easy to say things and then pat ourselves on the back for having said them.
Right.
It's another thing to actually affect change, and that is what God is asking us to do. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you about the fact that everybody's losing it. And how do we get to a place where we stop being on edge? We stop being so irritable, agitated, reactive with each other. How do we deal with those people or situations that provoke us? How do we deal with our own internal reactions that are causing us to just lash out and lose it? Talk it out and find ways forward. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions, comments, and insights right after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life,
Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GETCURO.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about how do we stop losing it? How do we get to that place where we're not always on edge, not feeling agitated, not feeling
snappish and just not right?
The reality is most people are in that place right now, and it's not because of all the obvious stuff. It's really because we've become disconnected from all of the supports that we have, from the things that we've done to try to manage our stress, and because of that, we're taking it out on each other. How do we get to that place where we can regain our sense of peace and start treating each other with more respect? 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Linda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in, I'm sorry, I think she just dropped.
Did you just drop?
Linda in Washington, are you there? Okay.
877-573-7825. We are talking with you about the idea of losing it. Are you feeling like you're having a hard time keeping your cool? Like you are more easily provoked than usual? Let's go to line one where we're talking with George from Michigan. George, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Things are going a little crazy right now with my wife and our in-laws, her mother specifically.
Okay.
It dates back really to when we first got married. We both got married very late with each other, and mother had a very difficult time letting go. In fact, when we just after we got married, we came home to celebrate her birthday, and the mother canceled the dinner because I was coming. So there was they've had a really tough time accepting their sort of the marriage. We've had good off and on.
Okay.
Through the years, they've really pressured a lot about us spending more time with them, but her mother and her sisters are really into things like this holy love and cults and soothsayers and all this kind of stuff. They say they're very active Catholics. They do daily mass and such. And now they're pressuring again here during COVID for us to get together. They think COVID's a hoax, and I have some pretty serious, I'm a high-risk patient.
Mm.
And so, once again, they're kind of blaming me for not getting together, and it's really causing a lot of stress with my wife and me, and with her, with my.
So tell me, where is your wife in all this? Are you fighting with her about this, or is she just feeling stuck in the middle, or what?
She has defended me throughout this. It took her a little while to kind of to get into it. Now she defends me with them, but it's causing a lot of strain internally because they want to get together off and on, and they're blaming me for not getting together. So it's just turmoil with me and my wife. We fight about it, but she will defend me, but it's causing an awful lot of strain with me and my wife. I want to spend time with her.
Go ahead. Well, I was just asking.
I understand to spend time with them. I get that. I understand that we want to get together. But it's been this constant thing of, well, if he shows up, then, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure about
so
that.
What's the tension for her? Like, where is she feeling torn here in all this, specifically?
I don't know that she's torn. I think she really does defend me with them. But I think she wishes that it were just normal. We both do. We wish we could just get together.
Sure. But it's not, right? So what, you know, when it comes down to needing to set boundaries with her family, what do you think stops her from being able to do that? Like, she defends you, but in terms of actually setting a real boundary here that says, look, guys, if you can't respect my husband and you can't support our marriage and really be respectful of our needs, then you're not safe and healthy people to be around. What would stop her from doing that?
Well, we did that with, we're probably close to that. I don't know. I don't think that she would ever go, because the constant response from her family is, well, we're family. We get together. We do these things.
Yeah, no, you don't. And that's the thing. And I'm going to jump in, because just in the interest of time here, because we've only got a couple minutes before they kick us out here. So look, this is a terrible thing, right? It's painful to have these rifts in family. It's so painful. And especially when it's our parents. Look, you know, we always want our parents to love us and to admire us. We always want mommy and daddy to be there for us, even when they're not great people. Unfortunately, there are times, especially when we're adults and we're married and we have our own families, that we do need to set those boundaries and say, look, mom and dad, I love you with all of my heart, and I wish that we could be in a good relationship. But the reality is, you don't respect us. You don't respect our needs. You aren't supportive of our relationship. You're dismissive of our concerns. And so you're not safe and healthy. You're not safe people to be around, right? I can, you know, and so what you do, you don't necessarily need to cut them off entirely. In my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, I talk about how to set boundaries that leave room for reconciliation. Boundaries are not meant to be a wall that cuts people off from us. They're meant to be a path that leads to a healthy relationship. So what do I mean by that? You know, you cut the relationship back to where you can safely relate to them. When I say safe, I mean where you don't have to spend the rest of the day putting yourself back together after engaging with them. So you ask yourself, you know, what kinds of contact can I have with them? What situations can I be in contact with them where I feel respected enough and safe enough that I don't have to spend the rest of the day putting myself back together again? So, you know, can we get together in public? Can I talk to them on the phone? Can we have a texting relationship? You know, what are those places where we can maintain some kind of connection, but I can still feel safe and either that they are respecting me or that I'm comfortable avoiding those things that they're trying to do that are unsafe or unhealthy? You cut the relationship back to that. And then when they complain about it, you can say, well, listen, guys, I love you and I would love to have more of a relationship, but until you're willing to respect this or stop doing that, this is as far as we're going to be able to go. And they say, well, but we're family. You have to. Well, no, just because you're family does not mean that you have to suffer abuse or be undermined or have your health call into question or have your marriage undermined. These are grave offenses that her family is committing against you guys. Not just your marriage, but your personal health. These are not okay things. And it is more than appropriate. In fact, it's necessary for you to set these boundaries because if you love them, then you need to work for their good. And working for a person's good at the very least means not letting them act like a jerk. Right? And so you cut the relationship back to the place where they can behave themselves, where you aren't an occasion of sin for them. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, if you're around somebody and they can't help but behave in an offensive way when you're around them in certain places, the most loving thing you can do is not be around them in those places because you become an occasion of sin for them, right? So their behavior is sinful toward you guys, and so you have to pull back if you love them. and you say, look, I love you guys and I want to have a closer relationship, but until we can address this issue or until you're willing to stop doing that offensive thing, I'm afraid this is where we're going to have to be. And they're not going to like it, because nobody likes when you set boundaries with them, but they'll have to deal with it. And once they've accepted that this is the way it's going to have to be, then there's a possibility of change. Until then, they're going to be too narcissistic and unhealthy to have a relationship with beyond that. I talk about this more in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. And I really strongly encourage you and your wife to take a look at that book, because it talks about how you set boundaries in a way that allows for healing and reconciliation. But what you guys have been trying to do here isn't going to work. And it's just going to actually create more drama as time goes by. So thanks so much for the call, George. And if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again here on the show. Listeners, if you are struggling with losing it these days and you're looking to find your peace and ways to deal more effectively with your relationships, check out CatholicCounselors.com. We'll help you find your way forward.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.